Good morning, everyone. Today's Daf in Nida is Daf Gimel. Day two of Nida. We are taking off today's yesterday. Today and yesterday's Daf are really one and the same. They are all flowing. Poor choice of word. From the same topic and the same issue, let's review. We started the Mesechta yesterday, and the first Mishnah Nida deals with the following issue. A woman sees blood, and the blood now is coming, the blood has exited her body, and now she's Anida. So how far back do we go? At what point exactly did we say that she was Anida prior to this point in time? The complication really arrives at the based on the following information. A woman's Anida, when the blood leaves her rechem, her uterus, and it goes into the kosle beis rechem, and it goes into the walls of the canal. At that point in time already, now she's Anida. Okay? Doesn't actually have to exit her body, and so therefore, Hillel's position, which, by the way, is not the accepted position, interestingly enough, Hillel's position is, okay, we're going to have to go backwards. Meaning, fine, the blood came out now, but that only means that we are seeing the blood now. But there's a possibility, strong one, that the blood was there in the canal prior to that, and it just, you know, stayed in the canal for some time. That's the position of Hillel, and so therefore, she's not only tummy now, but we're going to go backwards, and she's tummy lamafreya. To what point exactly? The last time we know for sure that she wasn't Anida. Let's say the last time she did an examination, the examination was clean. That's it. I will go back as far back as then. Okay. So, excuse me. That's Hillel's position. Shammai says no, Dain Shaitan. Dain Shaitan says Shammai is?
No.
No. You see it now? She's tummy now. And we don't go back at all. Dain Shaitan means it's sufficient to say simply that from this point going forward, she's Tameya. But not any time prior to this. Good? That's a basic machlokes between Shammai and Hillel. And what we started doing yesterday and what we're going to continue to do today is to give lamdas, to give some sort of analysis of this machlokes between Shammai and Hillel. Where does the halacha lie? The halacha lies somewhere in the middle. We remember there was a third opinion presented in the Mishnah, which is the opinion of the Chachamim. And the Chachamim said 24 hours. We're going to go backwards 24 hours. She sees the blood now. Me'es la'es. So 24 hours ago, we're going to say that anything she handled is going to be tamei. Tamei vaday, tamei safek. Huh? And Tuma de Rabbanan, right? Very good, good addition. And Tuma de Rabbanan, meaning even the Chachamim, the way I presented it yesterday, and you'll see the Gemara is going to more or less say this, is that the Chachamim fundamentally agree with Beis Shammai. I said Beis Shammai. Okay. Right, Shammai. The Chachamim fundamentally agree with Shammai. We don't go back. We really don't go back. Meaning, she has a chazakah of being a Tahara. And right now, she sees the blood, so we're going to assume from this point forward. It's just as a chumra midrabbanan, a rabbinic stringency, that we're going to go back 24 hours. And by the way, says the Mishnah, it doesn't have to be 24 hours. I mean, it could be less than 24 hours. Let's say she did a bedika earlier in the day. So let's say she saw blood in the afternoon, and she had a clean bedika in the morning. So we're not going to go back to yesterday. We're only going to go back to this morning. Right? Oh, yes, like Hillel, but even more lenient than Hillel, because the maximum that we're going to go back is only 24 hours. Good. Right. That's the Mishnah. Those are the positions of the Mishnah. In other words,
that it was Midrabanan and a Suffolk.
Good question. Also, I don't know to what degree Hillel is going to go back. Maybe contingent on some of the svaras that we're going to be discussing today. Maybe. Okay, and that's the Mishnah. There's more information in the Mishnah. But for us and our purposes today, that's enough. Now, we got on to Beis Amud Beis yesterday, and we had two case studies where we go back in both of the case studies. Case number one is mikvah, and case number two is chavis. Let's go over each one of these cases. Case number one is mikvah. What's the case of the mikvah? Measure the mikvah. We know at one point the mikvah had enough water. We know for sure, as a fact. And then today we measured the mikvah, and the mikvah does not have enough water. And so sometime between our last examination of the mikvah and today's examination of the mikvah obviously depleted. When did it happen? So the Mishnah says, obviously we don't know. And so therefore we're going to go back to the last time we know for sure that the mikvah was kosher. What about everything that was toveled in the mikvah? Everything that was toveled in the mikvah, it remains tameh. Meaning, it went into the mikvah being tameh. It's now we don't know if the mikvah was good or not. So therefore, we're going to go back and we're going to see everything that was toveled in the mikvah is going to have the status of tumah. So that's one case study where we went back. What's the second case study? Second case study is the case of Chavis, where I'm drinking wine and I'm mafrish truma from a barrel that I've earmarked as my truma barrel. So therefore, as I continue to drink wine, and as I continue to say, well, 2% is going to be from my truma barrel, so then that'll be fine. What if that barrel, I do an examination of that barrel, and it turns out that the barrel is vinegar, so I go back. And therefore I say that everything that I thought was, all the time that I thought I was being mafresh truma, the truth of the matter is I wasn't. Okay, and it's devil. Okay, and it's not mesukan, and it's not been remedied. So those are two case studies where I go back. And so obviously both of them present difficulties for the position of Shammai. And the truth of the matter is, to be even more detailed, the first case study is even difficult for Hillel, but for the time being, let's leave that out for just a moment. Let's just focus on the larger issue. They're obviously both difficult for Shammai, because in our case of the need, Shammai says we don't go back. Okay. So, what's the answer? So the Gemara gives one... Right. The Gemara gives one basic answer to both of these case studies, and that is Tarta L'Reusa. In the cases of Mikvah, and in the case of Chavis, you have two strikes going against you. Okay, and they are the following. In the case of Mikvah, you don't know if the Mikvah is good or not. Meaning, you have a question in the Mikvah itself. Kasher Mikvah or not a Kasher Mikvah? We don't know. We know at one point it was, and now we know it's not. So that's strike number one. We don't know. So suffix. Strike number two is, what did I tovel in the mikvah? Things that are for sure tummy. Okay, so now I'm trying to change the status of something that for sure was tummy with a mikvah that I may not even be kosher. That strikes one and two. Okay, and the same thing is true with chavis. Meaning in the case of chavis, that which I'm trying to eat right now, the wine that I'm trying to drink, is for sure tevel. Meaning I need to take off truma. And I'm taking it off onto a barrel which may or may not be wine. Okay, strikes one and two. Meaning I know the starting point is that wine is for sure tevel, which is prohibited. I'm trying to correct it, to amend it with wine that may or may not be wine. Meaning I know for sure now it's vinegar. So I go back and I don't know when it changed from wine to vinegar. So it strikes one and two. Okay, so it's what the Gemara refers to as Tarte L'Reusa. Good? That's what we did yesterday. That's basically a summary of yesterday's daf.
It's interesting because the case of the wine is more similar to the neither, because they're both a function of time, meaning that the wine over a certain period and the woman over a certain period is going to become a neither. So it's a function of time.
Right. The Gemara acknowledges that issue yesterday. I don't know if the Gemara resolved it, but the Gemara acknowledges yesterday that you could see things being more gradual. Certainly in the case of mikvah, you could see it being more gradual. By women, it's harder to see that it's a gradual change from her being a non-nida to her being a nida. So,
but they're both impending. It's a question of
correct. Yes, they're both right. All three of them are going to be inevitable. Meaning the woman will inevitably.
Why would the mikvah be inevitable?
Because water evaporates.
So there's
going to
be more rain coming in.
Oh, okay, fine. I'll accept that. Okay, and we continue. And where are we? That's a good question. We're somewhere on Beis Amid Beis. There we go. Rami Chavis HaMikva. Okay, good. So now that we've successfully defended Beis Shammai. I'm going to keep making that mistake. Now that we successfully defended Shammai against the two case studies of Mikvah and Chavis, so the Gemara says, let's take a moment now to just put those two cases side by side. V'rami Chavis HaMikvah, Maishna Hacha Vadai, Maishna Hacha Safek. Yeah. So in the case of Mikvah, we're saying everything that was told in the Mikvah is Vadai no good. Vadai. Meaning we're absolutely clear about that. In the case of Chavis, we're not absolute. Meaning, we say that the wine that I'm drinking now may or may not be corrected because what I thought was my truma barrel now is my truma barrel of wine is now my truma barrel of vinegar. Okay. But even there, in that case, we're not saying for sure it's truma. We're not saying for sure it's not truma. We're somewhere in the middle. It's what we refer to in the world of truma's tolin. Meaning, we don't treat it like truma. On the other hand, we don't burn it. Okay? Tolin. So why in the case of mikvah are we absolutists, where we say that anything that was solved in the mikvah is for sure no good? And in the case of truma, Why do we say over there that it may or may not be truma? Meaning, why do we treat it like a suffix? That's the Gemara's question. Ami Rabbi Chanina Misura Mantana Chavis Rabbi Shimoni. So the Gemara's answer is very simple. Not an elegant answer, but a simple answer. Meaning, we're going to align positions. We're going to align Tanayim. That position of the barrel is Rabbi Shimon. Now, it happens to be that Rabbi Shimon, in the case of mikvah, also says suffix. Okay. So, Rabbi Shimon, he delagabi mikvah, nami sveka mashvelai. Did not. And the Gemara says, and I'll show you that this is correct, and the Gemara now cites a, sorry, a brisa. And the brisa reads like this. We're on the bottom of Beis Amud Beis. There are four lines on the bottom. Mikvah, shenimda v'nimta chaser. I have a mikvah that I measured, and now as I measure the mikvah now, I realize it does not have 40 saw. And historically, I knew at one point it did have 40 saw. So, kol atar shenasa agabab l'mafer, b'im v'shus harab, b'im v'shus yachit tameos. So the Tanakhama of this brisa says everything's tamei. We're going to go back, and irrespective, regardless of whether it was the Rishus Yachin or whether it was the Rishus Arabim, we're going to say that it's tamei. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rishus Arabim, Taurus, Rishus Yachin, Tolem. And now Rabbi Shimon says that if in a public area it's going to be tahor, if in a private area it's going to be suffek, it's going to be suffek. So you see that this brisa, which clearly gives us a position of Rabbi Shimon, holds that even in the case of mikvah, it's going to be a case of suffix. So now we're totally aligned, because the case of chavis, which is the position of Rabbi Shimon, and the case of mikvah, according to Rabbi Shimon, is going to be a suffix. And now we're on the top of Gimel and Aleph, and now we get to do a little bit of analysis, because now what comes out is that we have a case of mikvah, and we're learning it from the case of sota, and the Gemara says, and how is that going to work exactly? A couple of things. Well, I'll tell you what. First, let me read the Gemara. Let me just go through the Gemara, and then we'll come back and we'll do some more analysis. The Shneim Lo Lamdu El Misota, top of Gemara and Aleph. And these two positions of Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama are both being derived from sota. Now, sota is interesting. It's really the prototype in terms of Tumah Tahara. Now, we all understand. Let's just go over some background information. The case of sota. The case of sota is not really a case of Tumah Tahara. Meaning, we're talking about a woman who may or may not have committed adultery. Right? And so it is an interesting place to use as a prototype for Tumah Tahara. But, as we know, right, we've gone over this point many times before, the Torah, when describing the sota, uses the word Tumah. So therefore, it's like the Torah is revealing to us that even though this is not really a case of Tumah Tahara, but this will become a case study for Tumah Tahara. Now, what's the story of sota? Story is that a married woman's talking to another man, and her husband, who's getting a little bit jealous, says to his wife, I do not want you talking to that man, and I certainly do not want you to spend any private time with that man. Okay? And that's what's called kinui. That's his warning. And then if she does not listen to the warning of her husband, and she is alone with that man, she goes into a private area with that man, she now is status-wise a sota, which now means from that point forward, all the witnesses can say to us is, she and this man, who she was warned from being with, went alone and secluded themselves in a private area. They do not know whether or not Bia did or did not happen. Now, in order to convict on adultery, right, in general, you need to see the act. You need the witnesses to see the act. Right? We do not convict anybody based on a strong suspicion that perhaps they had an adulterous affair. However, what sota teaches us is that if given proper warning, the first Mishnah in sota talks about this, if given proper warning and then she secludes herself in front of witnesses, now she is the status of a sota. And as the status of sota, even though we don't know what happened, nevertheless, she is usher to her husband. Okay, now, in the world of sota, we're going to distinguish between Rishus Yachin versus Rishus Rabim. Now, we know this distinction. We just read about it in the previous Amud. What is this distinction? She only gains the status of being a sota only if she privately secludes herself with this man. What we call Rishus Yachin. Now, don't confuse Rishus Yachin versus Rabim in the world of sota to that of Shabbos. By Shabbos, it has structural definitions. A Rishus Yachid needs four walls. A Rishus Yachid has to have a certain height requirement, meaning there's a very specific structural definition of Rishus HaYachid. And in Shabbos also, there's this very specific definition of what's Rishus HaRabim. It needs to be a street, it needs to go through the town, it needs to be 16 amas wide. According to some Rishonim, it needs to have 600,000 people walking through it. That's not what we're talking about in the world of Sota. In the world of Sota, we just simply mean
privacy.
Private versus not being private. Are there other people there? Are there not other people being there? Okay, that's all we mean in the world of Sota regarding Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim. Huh? Oh, okay, fine.
So by definition, Sota would always be Tamei then, because it's always going to be private.
Okay, so what the Gemara now is going to suggest is that our machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim about this case of mikvah really all piggybacks off the case of Sota. Now, how exactly is this going to work? So let's see the Gemara now inside. Rabbanan Savre ki Sota. So the Rabbanan say, well, let's take a look at our Sota. Ma Sota Safek hi va'asua kavadai. Hachanami Safek va'asua kavadai. Well, in the case of Sota, do we know what happened in the room? No, we don't. And yet, she's given status. Not good status, bad status.
Definitive.
Right? But definitive status. She is forbidden to her husband. So in the case of mikvah, so do we know? No, we don't know. We don't know when the mikvah depleted. But we're going to give it status, meaning definitive status. We're going to treat the suffix like a vadai. Good. Right?
But here is the same thing again. The sota originally was not, she was taught. She wasn't a sota. Either kalim were tuma.
Okay.
So that's a big difference.
Good point. Very good point. The Gemara is going to hit on another point. Imi sota, ema ki sota, ma sota b'rishus ha-rabim tarah, achanami b'rishus ha-rabim tarah. So now the Gemara is going to hit on also another very good point, which is, wait a second, the chachamim, right? You're not being consistent, because sota is only given status only if it was a private,
right.
If it was a private question. But if it was public, so then the sota is not going to be given the status of a sota. So in the case of mikvah, if the mikvah is in a public area, and it's a question of whether or not the kalim or tar or tameh, so according to you, you for sure should not give it definitive status, hachi hashta. And Phil, this may help you with your question as well. Right, hachi hashta. Hasam mishem stirahu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? By sota, what makes her a sota? The whole status changer,
right,
is that she secluded herself with a man. You don't have such a concept. Hacha mishum chaserhu. Mali chaser b'rishus rabim, mali chaser b'rishus yachid. Right. In the world of mikvah, the issue, the fundamental issue, is right now the mikvah is lacking. It's missing.
Doesn't matter what it is.
So what difference does it make whether it's in a Rishus HaYachid or in a Rishus HaRabim? Okay. So the Vichitim, I call Safik Tumah Rishus HaRabim Taor. So the Gemara says, and now I know what you're going to tell me. The Gemara anticipates now. So then I'm going to ask you the following. So then how do you ever have this distinction of Rishus HaYachid versus Rishus HaRabim? Meaning, if you're right, meaning, in the case of mikvah, it's really all a function of chaser, and because the mikvah now is missing, so therefore we're going to deem everything tovel in this mikvah to be tameh and vadei tameh. So let me ask you a question: how do you ever distinguish between Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim? And you know there's a distinction because the whole model of sota tells us that there's a difference between Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara says, "Kevadika tartelariusa kevadei tama dameh." So the Gemara says, and I'm anticipating your question, and I'm answering you like this. In the case of mikvah, again, we go back to the two-strike issue.
Right.
In the case of mikvah, and this is basically the point that you were raising, the kalim that were tovel in the mikvah started off as being tamei.
Right,
and now, I don't know when the mikvah now is bad. And I don't know when the mikvah was good earlier. And so therefore, strike one, the kalim went in was tamei. Strike two is that the mikvah is right now for sure bad, and historically, I don't know when it was good. Okay, so we basically go back to the Tartelariusa issue. Meaning, but all we're doing now is that we are piggybacking off the Sota model. The Sota does become the prototype, it does become the model. The only thing we're adding to that now, according to the Chachamim, is that in the case of Mikvah, I'm not going to differentiate between Rishut HaYachid and Rishut HaRabim, because in the case of Mikvah, it's Tartel
L'Reyusa.
Okay,
hold on. The Reyusa replaces the Rishut HaYachid?
Doesn't replace. It's just going to point out that we're not going to segregate between Rishus HaYachid versus Rishus HaRabim. The Tartel L'Reyusa says, your starting point is correct, that it's a suffik, we don't know what happened, the Sota is Vade Tameya, the case of the Mikvah is also Vade Tame. Okay, so
what? The Sota is Vade Tameya because of Rishus HaYachid, the Kehlin Vade Tameya is because of
Oh, so the, and all we're going to do now is that in the case of Sota, we have the luxury of making a distinction between Rishut HaYachid and Rishut HaRabim. We don't have that luxury in the case of Mikvah. Why? Because of Tartel L'Reyusa.
But the thing is, the whole seclusion is in it, the whole concept of Rishut HaYachid is inherent. Mm. It has to be Rishut HaYachid. Otherwise, there is no.
Correct.
Correct.
Agreed. All right. So the Masot B'Shut Achan B'Shut. So I'm sorry, I just lost my place. Kevade Toma Dami. Rabbi Shimon Savar. Good. So that all now takes us through the position of the Chachamim. And now let's take a look at Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Savar Kisot the Masot B'Shut Rabbim Tower Achanami B'Shut Rabbim Tower. So Rabbi Shimon now says, look, I'm going to do the same thing you did, but I'm just going to start from a different perspective. My starting point is going to be Rishus HaRabim. What's our story with the Sota and Rishus HaRabim? She's fine. Okay? Should she be spending time with that man? No. But did she seclude herself with that man? No. So does her status change? Not at all. So the same thing is going to be true regarding our mikvah. I tovel something in a mikvah. If it's in a Rishus HaRabim, it's fine. I know the mikvah at one point was good. I don't know when it changed, but it doesn't matter. A suffix in a Rishus HaRabim is going to be fine. That'll be my starting point. So, e misota ima kisota masota brishos yachid tamei avadai hachanami brishos yachid tamei avadai. So now, no, you didn't miss anything. You're good.
that's just.
In other words, the starting point of sota. Sota becomes the basis for the entire discussion. And so therefore we're drawing from the case of Sota. Sota Brishus HaRabim. Sota Brishus HaRabim is fine. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's fine. We are now, this is analysis now of Rabbi Shimon's position.
But how is Sota Brishus HaRabim a Sota?
Meaning she was warned. Her husband told her not to speak to that man. And she did. And not only that, but she spent time with this man in a quote unquote secluded area. But if that secluded area included other people, so that's Rishus HaRabim, and she's fine. If that area did not include other people, so then that's Rishus HaYachid, and she's now
There are other people there. There's no seclusion.
You're right. Agreed. Okay. So now, so the Gemara says. So now, according to Rabbi Shimon. So all I'm going to do now with you, Rabbi Shimon, is just challenge you now in Rishus HaYachid. Because if your whole basis comes from Sota, so you want to tell me Sota Rishus HaRabim is Tahora, fine. And you want to tell me that if the mikvah is in a public area, it's all the Kalim are now Tahor. Okay, I'll even give that to you. And you know that's difficult. And you know it's hard to hear that. But let's just hear it. But according to you, Rabbi Shimon, what about Rishus HaYachid? Yeah, because Sota Rishus HaYachid, what happens to her? Definitive status change. So what about all the kelim that were tovled in the mikvah, in a private area? It should be definitive status change. And meanwhile, you, Rabbi Shimon, say no. And Rishus HaYachid, well, remember the last word of the previous Amud? Tolin, meaning suffix. No, it shouldn't be a suffix, it should be Vadai. So the Gemara asks exactly this question. So, Ma Sota, Ki Sota... Sorry, imi sota, ima kisota, masota, brishos yachid, tamei avadai, hachanam, brishos yachid, tamei avadai. Hach yash. So the Gemara says, not comparable. Because hasam yesh raglan ladavar, shari kina lav nistara. Hach my raglan ladavar ika. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon will make the following distinction. In the case of sota, we have red flags. Right? We have reasons to be more than just suspicious. because he warned her. And the husband said to her, don't be with that guy. Don't hang with that guy. Don't talk to that guy. So in other words, now, right, the red flags are up. And now she spent private time with that man, so that's why she goes through a definitive status change.
And no one warned the Kalim.
That's why all this is very hard to hear. It's hard, Phil. You know, we've been here, we've done this, Baruch Hashem, right? We know this is going to be difficult to hear because the woman did not have a chazakah of being tameya, and the kelim did. I know. I'm aware as well. Again, that the sota becomes the starting point for the whole suffix discussion. Meaning, the sota, the Torah tells us what the story is regarding a sota. Rishus Yachid, she's Tameya. Rishus Rabim, she's Tahara. We know where the game, we know where the story starts. And now it's just a question of now translating it to the case of Tumah. Now, Ibai Zemah, in the time of the Rabbi Shimon, Gamar Sof Tumah, Mitzchilas Tumah. So the Gemara now is going to give a somewhat varied approach, a slightly different approach to Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara says, look, we're going to learn Sof Tumah from Tchilas Tumah. Ma Tchilas Tumah. Now, when we're talking about Tchilas Tumah, we're talking about the contraction of Tumah, becoming Tameh. Safek Navaga, Safek Lo Naga, Birushus Rabim Tahor. Now, look, in the case of contraction of Tumah, becoming Tameh, I may or may not have touched the Sheretz. I'm not sure. Right? That's my Safek. Now, in the Rishus Rabim, what's my story? Tahor. Av Sof Tumah, Safek Tavel, Safek Lo Tavel, Rishus Rabim Tahor. So, here, we're talking about the removal of Tumah. I Tovel in the Mikvah, it may or may not be a Kasher Mikvah, so what should the conclusion be? Tahor. I know. When you think about this, and you begin to realize, what a strange comparison. If I'm starting off by being tahor, and I may or may not have touched the sheretz, okay, so
okay, right.
My chazaka starts off as being tahor. If I know I'm for sure tameh, or if I'm a kli, and I know I'm for sure tameh,
right,
and I may or may not have gotten into a kasher mikvah, right? Your whole starting point, your whole chazaka, is a chazaka of being tameh. V'rabanan, and basically now what you're going to hear is the Chachamim saying exactly this point. V'rabanan ha'chiyashah, hasam gavra b'cheskas tarakai, misfeka lo machtina le l'tumah, hacha gavra b'cheskas tumakai, misfeka lo mafkina le mitumaso. Well, you could just talk about where your starting point is. If your starting point is your Vaday Tahor, and you may or may not have touched the Sheretz, okay. If your starting point is your Vaday Tameh, and you may or may not have gone to a Kasher Mikvah, why should you be Tahor? Okay. So, and it's so difficult, meaning you hear the Chachamim, it's hard to understand Rabbi Shimon's position, it's hard to understand this explanation of Rabbi Shimon. Tosfos, you want to see the second Tosfos on the page? Yeah, he tries to, you know, he tries to make sense of it. Okay, it's difficult. It's very difficult.
Yeah. It's also pointing out what Phil's pointing out.
What Phil's pointing out, what the Gemara is pointing out, meaning how do you even hear Rabbi Shimon's argument?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, if we knew how to learn
Torah. Yeah, that's correct. That's valid. All right, and now we continue. So far what we have is the following. I almost have it back. Almost. So far what we have is the following. We have the position of Shammai, of Dayan Shaitan, and we don't go backwards, okay? And why not? So what we have on the table right now is, I'll call argument number one. Argument number one is, to put it simply, Chazakah.
Now, any time, is the Gemara in this beginning of this daf telling us that any time we have a suffix to Matara, we learn it from Saita?
Yeah.
Or just
yes. Yes.
Yes. Any time we have a suffix to Matara,
we learn it from Saita.
So our model is wrong, what we're thinking, Phil. Our model is that if it has a chazaka of being Taira, then, but from Saita, we learned that model of thinking didn't work. Maybe that was just a Havamina from last page.
Now, what's difficult.
So
all right, let me go on because we have a lot more daf there. I really want to finish the daf. So we have Shammai's position, and Shammai says we don't go backwards at all. Now, explanation number one, which the Gemara now spent a daf and a half nearly talking about, is basically chazaka. Right? That's basically the best way to say it. Meaning, this is a woman who has been not an Ida. She's been in the status of Tahara. Now her status changes, but we're going to assume it changed now and not earlier. Because we have what's called the Chazaka Lamafreya, or the Chazaka Miikara. She has an original Chazaka of being good, and until otherwise stated, and until otherwise known, she remains in a Cheskas of Tahara. Okay, so we ask questions from the case of Mikvah, and we ask questions from the case of Chavis, but those cases are really external to our case, because those are cases of Tartalariusa. Those are cases where you have two strikes going against you. Good. The Gemara now is going to give 2, 3, and 4. Three more explanations. A total of 4 explanations for Shammai. Let's see number 2. Eba Yisema. Did I skip? It's a good move. It's a move of mine. Yeah, I tried to skip. Okay. Umayshlami Mavoi. Okay. Sorry. Everything I said is correct. It's just that we have one more little hurdle that we got to jump over. How is this any different than the case of Mavoi? Now, did not Asher Shanim said, but Mavoi, I find a sheretz, I find a dead rodent that gives off tuma, and I find in my Mavoi. Mavoi translates as an alleyway. It's an area where it's a contained area. It has 3 walls around it. And so therefore, it's a contained area. Where, essentially now what we're going to say is that if there was anything Torah that went through the Mavoi, I'm going to assume going backwards that that item becomes Tamei. Because look, I know there's a dead Sheretz in the Mavoi right now. Was it here yesterday? So the Gemara, let's assume, yeah, it was here yesterday. How about a week ago? Sure. We're going to go back to the last time the Mavoi was swept. Okay, they had I'm guessing a weekly sweeping of the Mavoi. Right, Mondays and Thursdays, sweeping of the Mavoi, right? I put out my trash this morning. Okay, good. So Hasam Nami, right? Hasam Nami came into Ika Shratzim de Gufei, who Shratzim Dasam Yama, Kitar Del Reyusa. Dami in the Gemara again sidesteps this hurdle and says that's also a Tar Del Reyusa. Okay, you need to stretch a little bit your imagination in order to understand how this is Tar Del Reyusa. So the Gemara's argument is, well, you have Shratzim here in the alleyway. You had a sheretz from outside as well, external shratzim, which are also add to the pool of sheretz. So it's tart de la reyusa.
So tart
de la reyusa is basically the conversation ender, meaning that normally I would not go back, but when you have 2 strikes, so then you do go back. The case of mikvah, we had 2 strikes. The case of chavitz, we have 2 strikes. And the case now of mavoi. We're going to call it 2 strikes.
The case of mikvah were the 2 strikes I forgot
here. Number one, the kli that was toveled into the mikvah is tamei. And 2 is that I don't know whether the mikvah was kasher or not.
Right, and the same thing with
the case with chavitz as well. Okay. Ibai seima. Okay, now what I said, let's go back like a minute into the tape. Let's go back to what I said now. Explanation 2 coming up. Our second explanation of Shammai. Again, what's the issue? A woman sees blood, Shammai says she's Tamei now. Not a minute, not an hour earlier, she's Tamei at the time that she sees it. We do not go backwards. Why not? Okay. So explanation number 2 is that a woman has a hargasha. There is some sort of physical sensation when blood comes out of her. Okay, the Gemara later on in the Masechta is going to try to describe for us that physical sensation. Now, being the audience over here are people that don't understand, so what can I tell you? We don't understand. But there is some sort of physical sensation that comes. Even Bizmanenu, it's discussed at length, the post can discuss at length, women don't have necessarily the type of hargasha that the Gemara is going to describe. Okay. There is some... Yeah, correct. Okay, I'll do some because you'll see the Gemara's description of it, and it's not exactly what women nowadays experience. So, Heine time, Deshamei Hol Veishamar Geshes Batzma. Look, here's the argument. If it came out earlier, there would have been a hargasha. There would have been some sort of sensation that would have come at the onset of it. There was no hargasha earlier. And so therefore, all we're left to assume is that because the hargasha comes generally in conjunction with the onset of her bleeding, so therefore, we're going to assume that it didn't come earlier. Okay. V'hilal, now, good argument. Hillel obviously disagrees with this argument. There are things that mask the hargasha. Number one, meraglaim, her urinating. So it's going to mask the hargasha.
The hargasha is at a certain small period of time.
Yeah. So wait, just hear it out. Hear it out. So the Gemara says, what about, according to Shammai, well, maybe she had the hargasha when she was sleeping. So the Gemara says, no. Yeshena nami agav tzara mit ara. So the Gemara says, no. In other words, if there was a hargasha, even while she was sleeping, the hargasha would have been so painful, it would have disrupted her sleeping. So, mida dahave hargashas meraglayim. The Gemara says, right, a woman, if she has that need to go to the bathroom, she's going to wake up to go to the bathroom. The aika shota. So the Gemara says, okay, but there are women who are not going to be enough in touch with their bodies in order to understand that they had an hargasha. And so maybe for these women, maybe Shammai would lose the argument of of dain shaita. For example, the Gemara says a shota, right? A woman who's deranged, who's mentally deranged. So the Gemara says, okay, mod Shammai b'shota. Okay, fine. You're right. Maybe Shammai would agree that if a woman was a shota and she started bleeding, and because she is not in touch with her body and she doesn't understand her hargasha, she doesn't sense her hargasha, so maybe you're right. Maybe Hillel would agree with Shammai. Sorry. Maybe Shammai would agree with Hillel in that case. How call Anashim Ketani? The Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you the problem. The problem is, Shammai Omer, call Hanashim Dain Shaitan. You know, we know that language of call. We've seen it time and again. I go back to the beginning of Chulin, right? Hakol Shokhtin. So Kol Anashim. So the Gemara says, okay, Kol Anashim Pichos. So we're going to just simply change the population, right? We do this in studies all the time, right? If the study doesn't conform, we just simply change the population. All right, so Kol Anashim Pichos. V'listni Nashim. So the Gemara says, how about this? How about don't use the word Kol? Meaning, if we know that it doesn't include everybody, so why does the Mishnah just simply say Nashim? Okay, and that way it wouldn't be misleading. So the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why the Mishnah, how do you necessarily use the language of Kol? La'afukim into Rabbi Eliezer. Dama Rabbi Eliezer, Arba Nashim V'sulah, Kamash Mulan Kol Nashim. Because we're going to see a Mishnah in a short couple days from now, where the Mishnah brings us the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, and the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer is a Tana. Rabbi Eliezer says that this application of Dain Shaitan only applies to four women and four women only.
Four categories of women.
And you'll see his opinion later on. And so what our first mission wanted to do was tell us, I don't agree with Rabbi Eliezer. How do we know? What's the telltale sign that the first mission does not agree with Rabbi Eliezer? By using the word, kol anashim. Va'ika ksamim, so the Gemara says, okay, now what about kesam? And we're going to be spending prakim of nida, at least one parak, talking about the concept of kesam. Kesam is a stain. She finds a stain on one of her undergarments, so now she is a nida. Albeit a nida midrabanan, but a nida. She'll get status of nida. And when did the stain come? We don't know, obviously. In other words, she finds a stain on her undergarments, so we don't know when it comes. So now we're going to go backwards. So now, are you telling me that Shammai disagrees with the whole concept of kesem? So lema tanan ksamim delok Shammai, delok kishamai. The whole concept of kesem doesn't agree with Shammai, because kesem, we do go backwards. So the Gemara says, Amar Abayim, odu Shammai b'ksamim. So Abayi says very simply, no, Shammai agrees by kesem. My tama, b'tzipor lo nisaska b'shuk. I'm sorry, lo nisaska. B'shuk shel tabachim lo avra, haidam echase. Because by kesem, look, I'm asking you a simple question. How did the stain get there? Right? She wasn't shechting an animal. She wasn't preparing birds for dinner. So in other words, I have no other explanation of where the blood comes from. It came from her. When did it come? So now I know that the blood came from her, and I don't know when it came, so now we're going to have to go backwards. So even Shammai agrees by kesem. Okay. So, approach number two of Shammai, explanation number two of Shammai is going to be because of Hargasha. And because she didn't have a sensation earlier, so therefore we're going to assume that she's tummy only from this point forward. Explanation number three of Shammai. Ibai semai netam is a Shammai di misa davida mikara have ase. The simple fact is that had the bleeding occurred earlier, she would have seen it earlier. Meaning, explanation number three is very simple. Blood flows. Right? It's that simple. Meaning, Shammai just simply looks at the mitzvah, so the reality of the scenario, is that and the blood's just going to come out of her.
Like Rashi was stretching to come up with a case where Hillel would have a say, and the blood was in the
rechem,
and it was
slowly going. Okay. To him, Isa, Mikara, and Hillel is going to argue, no. Hillel will tell you that sometimes the blood stops in the kosle beserechem, and sometimes does not come out immediately. So, Vishamai kosle beserechem lo mukmida. So, and Shammai says, no, it doesn't hold back the blood. Now, it seems to be that we're having a very base machlokus over here between Shammai and Hillel, whether the blood does or does not stop in the canal. Right? It seems to be a machlokus in Metzius. You know, my mesorah is that, generally speaking, we don't like that. We don't like to explain a machlokus as just a very, you know, is this the Metzius or is that the Metzius? So,
what does
Metzius
mean?
Metzius means that, is that the reality? Right? They're arguing about what is the reality. It's not my mesorah, not my tradition. That's normally how we explain things, but that seems to be over here inescapable. That's what they're arguing about. I don't know. Could have been, but certainly they knew biology. That's for sure. And over here seems to be that's what they're arguing about. Now, Mishamesh is Mamoch Ma'ikel Amemah. So the Gemara says, okay, you're arguing about whether blood does or does not stop in the canal, and whether the blood is a free flow straight out. And Shammai's argument is, it just comes right out. And so therefore, had she been bleeding earlier, she would have seen it earlier. That's our third explanation of Shammai. What about this? What about a woman who uses contraception? Now, you'll say to me, right, yeah, that's in our religion? And I'll say, sure. Yep, in our religion. Contraception is allowed. Now, under what circumstances? So the Gemara later on will give three circumstances where contraception is allowed. It comes up in the Gemara later. Back then, they had what was called a moch. A moch was just simply some sort of sponge that she puts up in order to stop the zera from going into her.
It was less effective than some of the contraceptives.
Okay, in terms of its effectiveness, I don't know. But in other words, the Gemara later on, we'll talk about it. In the meantime, however, the Gemara over here, and it's a discussion in of itself, and obviously, in terms of your own personal questions, you'll speak to your local Orthodox rabbi. But in terms of our Gemara over here, the Gemara over here is bothered by a very simple question. If our woman over here is using such contraception, so therefore it would stop the bleeding, meaning it would prevent the zera from going into her, it would also prevent the blood from coming out of her. So if she has this contraception inside of her, this moch inside of her, so therefore it would stop the bleeding. So now what would Shammai say then? Where she has a moch inside of her, and then she sees blood. Now we can argue very simply that this blood may have been inside of her kosle beserechem for some time. To which the Gemara answers very simply, okay, maybe you're right. So, v'shamei kosle beserechem l'moch midam. V'shameshes b'moch ma'ik l'meimar, amar abay, imod y'shamei v'shameshes b'moch. Shammai would agree. And Rava amar moch nami agav zeya makvitz kavitz. And Rava would tell you, no, even if she has a moch inside of her, but because there's a tremendous amount, there's an aggregate amount of moisture, so therefore the moch shrinks, and the blood would just come right out of her. And even Rava would agree, however, that if the moch was very compressed, so then the moch would stop the blood from coming out. So now, let's take a sum total of what we have so far. Shammai's position of Dayan Shaitan. We have right now three explanations of Shammai. Why don't we go backwards? Why don't we make her Tameya earlier on the concern that maybe blood comes out earlier? Explanation number one is chazaka. Explanation number two is hargasha. And explanation number three is, well, not moch, but blood flows out. Blood would just simply come right out of her. Mai ika bein hani lishne lahach lishna. Are there differences? Are there going to be practical differences between explanations 2 and 3 versus explanation number 1? Top now of Gimel Amud Beis. Ika beinaihu. Lemir mechavis umikva umavoy. Lahach lishna ika lemir minu. Lahani lishna leka lemir me. Look, if you're going to go with explanation number 1, which is an explanation of chazaka, so that's fundamental. Right? Explanation number 1 is a principled issue about whether or not chazaka miikara trumps chazaka dahashta, or chazaka dahashta trumps chazaka miikara. So once you're having a fundamental debate, then you could talk about mikvah, chavis, mavui, all those cases that employ the principle of chazaka. And then we have to answer our tartel reyusa answer. But in other words, then we're going to have that whole discussion. If your explanation is hargasha, that's specific to nida. If your explanation is, well, blood just comes out of her, that's specific to nida. So then it doesn't get into the discussion of mikvah, of chavis, of mavoi. Okay, that's umay ika, top now of Gimel Amud Beis, three lines down. Umay ika bein hai lishna lahach lishna. Now, is there going to be a difference between 2 and 3? Gemara says, sure. According to Abai, there's moch, and according to Rav, there's moch dachuk. Meaning, what the woman uses contraception. If you're going to go with reason number 2 of hargasha, so the woman experiences hargasha whether she uses or does not use contraception. If the explanation is based on the blood just simply flows down, so the contraception might stop the blood from flowing down. Okay. And it's interesting, by the way, the Gemara doesn't go the other way. Meaning, if your explanation is going to be hargasha, so then there's the case. Then there's the exception of shota, right? Okay.
And there's no means where intercourse causes bleeding.
No, but the Gemara later on will point out that bia may mask a hargasha. Okay. The Gemara later on will talk about that. I don't remember when, but sometime later. Tanya ki hailishna di misa davidami karav ase. Gemara now quotes a brisa, and brisa is going to support our third explanation of Shammai, because Amar lehilal Shammai yatamo debekupa shenisham shabat haras bezavizu v'nimsa sharetz bezavizacheri shataras rishonis tameos. So here we have a brisa, and this brisa gives us a dialogue. Right, we find this all the time where we have a machlokes between Shammai and Hillel, and the brisas give us like more give and take. Right, so we get to see more of their thought process. So here in the brisa, Hillel says to Shammai, look. Shammai, you know you agree with me the following. I have a kupa, I have a box in my house where I store things, chest. And I stored taharos in that box. And I took the taharos out of that box. And then later on, I opened up the box and I found the dead sharetz inside. Now you agree with me that we're going to go backwards, right? And you know you agree with me. And Shammai's nodding his head and he says, sure, of course I agree with you. Because the box was a sealed box. And I opened up and I found a sheretz inside, and I have to assume that the sheretz was there earlier. Yes, I agree with you. Amalo Ava. Shammai says to Hillel Aval. Now, you know what that word Aval means. Aval means, you're right, you're correct, but.
You're correct.
Right. There, I agree with you. Yeah, Emes, you're right. However, Uma Hefresh means Zulazu. In the case of the chest, there is a bottom to the chest, meaning it is a self-contained compartment. In the case of the woman, there's no bottom to the woman. Okay, so forgive me for being a little bit crass, but essentially, when she starts bleeding, the blood just comes right out of her. It drops right out of her. So therefore, there's nothing to contain the blood. Okay, this sounds like which explanation of Shammai? Number three. Explanation number three. Right, correct. Okay, good. Rava Amar, and now number 4. Explanation number 4. Time of Deshami Mishum Bito Piriya Virivya. A fourth explanation of Shammai, and that is the following. Bito Piriya. Now, as I mentioned in yesterday's introduction to Masechta Nida, in our Masechta, there are really two concurrent issues that go side by side. Number one, there's a Tumah V'Tahara issue, and number two, there's an Issur V'Heter issue. Meaning when a woman starts menstruating, number one, no, she's Tumah. She's Tameya. Right? Sometimes I speak grammatically correct. Most of the time, no. She's Tameya. Meaning anything she makes contact with is going to be Tumah. But there's also another issue, which is that as a Nida, she can't have relations with her husband. Okay. Now, sometimes those issues go hand in hand, and sometimes they don't go hand in hand. Shammai now is arguing, or the Gemara is arguing on behalf of Shammai, look, if we start now saying that the woman's bleeding, and we're going to go retroactively, and we're going to say that anything she touches, lemafreya, are going to be retroactively tameh, now, from her husband's perspective, let's think about this. Oh, wait a second. My wife is a Nida, even before she starts bleeding? I just don't know when? The husband now is going to think a little bit before having relations with his wife, you know, she may be a Nida even earlier. So what Shammai does is Shammai says, look, do you know when she's a Nida? Only when she starts bleeding. Only when she sees the blood. No time before that point in time. Because the Shammai does not want to give the husband any type of possible guilt. Excuses, feelings that my wife may in fact be a Nida. It just happens to be that we don't know yet. So, right, exactly. People were from back then, correct. And so therefore, Dain Shaitan, in order to not to be Mevatel, the mitzvah of Peru Urevu. Now, the Gemara says, let's do a little bit more Gemara for today. Now, not only that, the Gemara says, and I have a Braisa. Amalo Shama Lehelo, Im can't be taught to Benoist, so me Peru Urevia. Shama says to Hillel, you know, your position is going to lead to Peru Urevu issues.
They can have two reasons at the same time, right?
Now, the Gemara just wants to now know that's not going to be our fourth explanation of the day. Here's the Gemara's next issue, which is Umandit Nihai Lishna Hatan Kihach Lishna. Now, what about the other Braisa? Meaning the other Braisa had it all contingent on she doesn't have shoe life, she doesn't have a bottom. So the Imisa the Havidami Kara Havidamas Haviase Hasam Hilohu de Katai who suffered time to Shammai the Imisa Davidami Kara Haviase the Kamachle Kupa. Hilo didn't understand Shammai. Hilo thought that Shammai was all based on the blood arriving or not arriving. Shammai saying to Hilo, look, my real reason is Peru Revu. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to even play with you. I'm going to play along with you. You thought my whole explanation was because of the it's analogous to Kupa. Even in your thought process, I'm telling you you're wrong. Because it's not analogous to Kupa. But just between you and me, that's not even my reason. Now, if you believe that the reason for Shammai is reason number three, so what are you going to do with the braisa that we just learned about Peru Revu? So the Gemara says, "Hachi kamar lehilal Shammai in Tama kamar deimisa davidami kara have ase." You know what? You're right. Meaning, the real reason for me is because if she was bleeding, the blood would come right out of her. Umiu asas siag letvrecha demaishta mikol haTorah kula davdin and siag. But I'll tell you what's the Shammai lehilal. You know what would be a good question that you can ask me? You're right, meaning the blood would come out. But at least make some sort of rabbinic stringency, meaning at least let's go backwards lemafreya, not fundamentally, but just at least as a siyag, as a rabbinic safeguard. So Amalim can be taught to benayis zol mipiria virivia. Here, it would be detrimental to me make a siyag. Because if you made a siyag, a rabbinic fence, so then you'd be mevatel the mitzvah peruvu. Vehilo mipiri verivya ki kamino tahara su de kamart. Who? De kamina. Now, what's Hillel going to do about the peru revu? So Hillel will say to Shammai, look, when I go backwards and I say that she's Tamil Mafreya, I'm only talking about Tumah Tahara. I'm not talking about vis a vis her husband, meaning what Hillel's trying to do now is separate the two issues. The issue of Tumah Tahara and the issue of Issur V'Heter. So I'm only saying we're going backwards vis-a-vis Tumah Tahara, not Issur V'Heter. V'shama l'taharas nami lo. Nim kein li bonofo parish. And Shammai says, look, you're right, but practically speaking, if we're going to go backwards and make everything she touches, Tameh, moving backwards, So her husband is not going to be able to distinguish, and her husband's going to say, oh, wait a second. She's touching that and that's tame? Oh, no. So it must be that she's a nida vis-a-vis Isser V'Heter. Libo Nokfo, his heart's going to start pounding, meaning he's going to get nervous every time he has relations with her, thinking, well, if she's being, if now we may revisit this moment and say that she's being metame lemafreya, so isn't she a nida vis-a-vis me lemafreya? And so therefore, people can't separate in their mind nida in the world of Tumah Tahara versus nida in the world of Isser V'Heter. So therefore, Shammai says, you know what? It won't work. Meaning we're only going to make her tame da'i shaita from this point going forward. And we're not going to go backwards.
Another issue is that if in terms of procreation, if the woman is a nida, she's not inclined to pregnant.
Correct.
That may not really have any totally...
Correct. But if once we're going backwards, and there's no cap in terms of how far back we're going to go, so the husband's going to be weary about having relations with his wife at any time. Four explanations of Shammai now we have on the table. Number one is Chazaka, that was most of Daf Beis and some of Daf Gimel. Second explanation of Shammai is because of Hargasha. She would have felt it. Third explanation of Shammai is just the Metzios, the blood would have come right out. The fourth explanation is the explanation of Bittul Peruvu. Bryce is supporting explanation number three. Bryce is supporting explanation number four. Are there practical differences between these explanations? The Gemara talked about that as well. And that's our daf for today. Right.